Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We're going to open the Word together. Why don't you open up the Bible with me to Acts chapter 3. We are in the midst of our healing series. And today I have the privilege of preaching to you a message that has transformed and changed my life. And it is the continuation of all things healing, but actually what that means for every believer like you and I. And so as we open up the scriptures to Acts chapter 3, would you close your eyes and pray with me? God, I thank you for your word. I thank you it's your word that changes, it transforms us. And I thank you, Lord, that in your word today, there is gold that you want to deliver to each and every single person in this room today. So I thank you for the revelation of your word. And I ask, Holy Spirit, you would reveal, open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear what the Spirit would say in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through to 10. And if you haven't got a Bible, you can see it on the screen. Follow along with us. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and then a certain man came from his mother's womb, was carried, whom laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms of those who entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, they asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging for alms at the gate Beautiful of the temple. And they were filled with awe and wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This passage of scripture is probably one of my favorite passages of scriptures growing up as a teenager. I read this and was filled with absolute anticipation and excitement as I read this story. Because what I saw was the continuation of what Jesus did on his time on earth here, happening through everyday people like Peter and John. And that said to me as a teenager, well, if it can happen for them, it can happen for me. If it can happen for them, it can happen for you. And this is this beautiful picture in the moment of time where literally Jesus has died, he's resurrected, he's conquered sin, death, and the grave. The Holy Spirit has come in the chapter beforehand. Tongues of fire has fallen on their heads. They are filled with the very presence of God. And they hit the street. I love that. Because when Jesus touches a life, it should always have a ripple effect. It's not enough for Jesus just to change your life in and of itself. It has to move on to somebody else. Because what he does in you is what he wants to do through you. Why? Because you have Jesus living inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. Do you know what you have? Do you know what you have? Come back with me to verse 6. It says this. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. Can I just drop a little bit of a truth element here? I think a lot of us, when it comes to walking past people who have illness, ailments, sickness, or even poverty, we run to what we have in the natural and we go, well, silver and gold I have. And what we actually do is enable them to stay in their condition and not take them to a place where Jesus wants to bring salvation, deliverance, healing, and wholeness. And we get stuck with what we have in the natural, but do you know what you have? Listen, he says this, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have to you, I give to you. I met a lady at the 7-Eleven just around the corner here, and she actually scared the life out of me. I got out of my car, wasn't expecting anyone to be sitting on the ground in between the bollards or anything like that, and I got up, put some rubbish in the car, and she's like, oh, excuse me. And I was like, oh, whoa, Lord Jesus, hello. And I instantly saw her response to me speaking this name of Jesus. And she looks at me and she said, could you give me $20 or $30? I need to go get a script filled for some medication. And I looked at her and I said to her, honey, listen, I've got an iPhone. I have no cash. I have nothing that I can give to you in the natural. I said, I can buy you a drink. I can buy you some food. And I can even take you to the chemist to get your script filled. But I don't have that to give to you today. And she looked at me, she's like, oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. And I turned and said to her, I said, but I have something else. Can I pray for you? See, often what we do is we let the limitations of the natural define what God actually is wanting to do, but we lock it up by our natural responses. See, what they had, they owned. Did you catch that? But what I have, I give to you. Now, Peter and John have experienced the fullness of who Jesus is. They've seen the miracles happen. You know, Jesus states very clearly in Luke 9, I give you power and authority to go and to do these things. And the only reason he could say that is because in Matthew chapter 4, he actually went into the wilderness, fought the devil in the wilderness by not bowing to temptation, and what Adam gave up in on the garden, Jesus conquered in the wilderness. And through doing that, he reinstates man's authority and basically is like, now go and do what I'm doing. Even before his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus had given the disciples power and authority to go and do as he was doing. Because he won back the right for us to be able to walk in an authority that he has given to us. And see, the thing is that when John and Peter come to this man who is lame, they don't come up and they don't come up or come in with an arrogance or a pride. They literally walk up with a confidence of what they have been given. And they walk into this situation and they extend their hand and they say, what we have, we give to you. Did they have power? Nope. They were just a vessel. See, the thing is, they were a vessel that God could use because what was the power was in the name of Jesus. And when you use someone's name, you're coming in representation of them. But with Jesus, it's so much more than just coming in that small representation of the natural man. He now lives inside of each one of us. It's funny because Peter goes on and says in verse 12 of this passage, he's like to the people who are gathering around and marveling in wonder and amazement. And he's like, why do you marvel? Why do you look at us so intently as though we by our own power, own godliness, made this man walk? He's like, no. Through his name, through faith in his name, he made this man strong. It was through Jesus' name that this man was made strong. But you know, this is what's wild. It's actually designed for every single one of us because the power of the name of Jesus is not bound to a leader, to a pastor, to a staff member. The name of Jesus is for every person who believes. Are you a believer today? Because I'm telling you right now, what you have, God wants to do in and through you in greater measure. Acts 4 says, the conversation continues and Peter and John are navigating some challenges with some of the Sanhedrin, and they're questioning them, and they're like, well, hang on a second, by what power or by what name did you do this? And they're like, well, salvation is under no other name but the name of Jesus. And then the Sanhedrin are like, no, don't speak. Don't you dare mention that name of Jesus. Don't you dare begin to teach or preach or share in that name of Jesus. And their response was like, we can't help but share of that which we have received. We can't hold it in. It's actually not possible for us to hold it in. And verse 29, after they've been attacked in Acts 4. Literally, they go into a place of prayer and they seek the Lord. And verse 29 says this. It says that they prayed, "Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant." Why? Because it's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. And turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11 says this. "Therefore, God has also highly exalted him," Jesus, "and given him the name which is above every other name, the name of Jesus, which every knee should bow in those in heaven and on those of earth and under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The name of Jesus being preached and proclaimed brings forgiveness for sin. It brings healing to the body, and it brings deliverance to the soul. But it was never meant to be just contained in a book that you could read. It was meant to be on your lips to be proclaimed. It was meant to come up out of you and be an extension of grace and mercy to somebody else. This is what we have. This is what we have been given. Because the name of Jesus holds power, it holds authority, and it holds the anointing. And this is the intent. It has always been designed that Christians would walk with a God-given authority, power, and anointing to actually share the good news, to demonstrate the kingdom of God, and to bring heaven to earth in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Joe, not in the name of Cain, not in the name of Cherie, not in the name of Jess, not in the name of Josh, not in the name of any other name, but the name of Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It is about what he wants to do and flow through us. Church, God will encourage us in this healing season that healing is never meant to stay locked up in the four walls of the church. It's meant to flow through you and me. It's meant to be a byproduct of our everyday lives, because he lives in you, and the same power that raised Christ from the dead is not one that can be contained. It's not one that can be shut up. The devil lost that battle. The grave's empty. Have you considered that? It can't be contained. Oh, I'm telling you, God has given you authority. He has delegated it to you. John 14 says that greater works than these shall you do, and whatever you ask in my name, it shall be done. John 15, 16, I chose you to bear fruit, that you would ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. John 16, 23, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Do you think Jesus had a message? Do you think Jesus had an agenda for every believer who believes in the name of Jesus to be an extension of his grace, his mercy, his power, and his anointing? This isn't a hype you up message. This isn't anything but an activation of what God has given to you already. If you are saved, if you know Jesus, you need to know he wants to escape out of you. He does not want to be confound or confined. Found, find, close. He doesn't want to be confined. He wants to be released on the earth. And the only reason you're sitting in this church is because he was released to you through somebody else. Is not our response a duty of thanksgiving and gratitude for what he has done? Paul, the Bible tells you that Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Authority was given to you as a right action for you to have delegated representation of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and releasing the love of God on an earth that so desperately needs it. He gives you this so it can be a part of the witness, because power was never given for power's sake. It was given for a purpose. It strengthens you and enables you to live a Christian life. It's so that Jesus might be known, seen, felt, and experienced. And it reveals Jesus, and it builds his church, and it demonstrates the kingdom of God. And it provides you as a believer with everything you need, because he fills you to accomplish the divine purposes that God has for you, the divine callings that he wants to work out through your life. He wants to give you a supernatural ability to follow after Jesus, to witness, to lay hands on the sick, and to demonstrate the power of the gospel. It's not for position. It's not for privilege. It's not for personal gain. It's not for personalities that are just extreme like you might think I am. It's for the everyday believer. It's not a force. It's a person. And this person of Jesus lives inside of you, and you're an extension of his grace, extension of his power, his authority, and his anointing. I had a conversation with one of our lovely young women here in the church, and she was sharing with me when she was a kid. They taught that if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, that it would grow, and that was what they were teaching in kids ministry. And so they brought in a bunch of little pots and put in little mustard seeds, and she literally said to me, she goes, I literally thought they grew because I had faith. And she's like, I just believed. And so I went around going, look, it grew because I have faith. You know, sometimes we just need to go back to our childlike ways. Sometimes we just need to go back to the simplicity of what does he say? What has he given me? What do I have? And how can I deliver that to somebody else? See, the beauty of healing is that it is literally something that takes place and we can't fathom or understand. We've heard from a couple of others and in the life of the church in this season where we have to hold on to the mysteries of God in the midst of the power of God, and we hold those things in tension because we don't necessarily understand all those things. But one thing is really clear. The anointing is actually what provides a spiritual authority for each of us. And the anointing creates a heightened sensitivity and an awareness and helps us in our evangelism, sharing the gospel. It helps us in healing. It helps us in deliverance. See, the anointing is, let me just be really clear with you. The anointing is not adrenaline. The anointing is not flow in a service. Wow, the anointing. That's not. It's not someone falling over when you pray. It's not someone's personal ability. It's not gained through a meeting or a service. I got the anointing. It's not gained through influence or promotion because you did a great message and they took a sound clip and put it on the internet, went wild, so now you're anointed. No. It's not connectedness to the right people to get you to the right place, the right platform, to preach the right thing. The anointing is a divine positioning in Jesus. 1 John 2:27 says, you have the anointing. Our whole question today is, what do you have? You have the name of Jesus and you have the anointing. To take it one step further, he goes on and says, 1 John 2:20 says, you have been anointed by the Holy One who is Jesus. Yeah. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22 says that God the Father has anointed us. And Romans 8, 11, my favorite, the same power that raised Christ, the same Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Do you know that you're anointed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Do you know what you have? Whoo! See, the anointing is this divine positioning. The anoint word is actually the word kairo in Greek. It means this: enduing Christians with gifts of the Holy Spirit, a supernatural power that empowers us to be able to do God's work. It goes beyond our natural ability. It releases the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it is released, hear this, as we follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit, through our inclinations and through our emotions, through our thoughts, and through our desires, because the Holy Spirit stirs up inclinations within us. Do you ever have that feeling sometimes where you're like, oh, I should just pray for that person? That's an inclination of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I should call that person. That's an inclination of the Holy Spirit. See, I think too often we can get preoccupied with the idea that we just leave it to the professional few and actually forget that God wants to work through us in our everyday lives. He wants to do a work through you and I. And the anointing is the tangible presence of God that actually destroys the yokes and releases freedom to people's lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do Christian karaoke and hope that that's where the anointing is and we're done. I want this to follow me in the everyday pursuit of my everyday life, at my cafe, at the chemist, at the hairdresser, at the gym, and at the places that I go and the places that you go need to encounter the living God. But you know what's really key? The anointing increases when we spend time with God. See, all of these things you have, but there's a difference between having them and exercising them. There's a difference between having them and being submitted under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allowing it to come up in and through you. The anointing is not for public service, it's for public service, it's not for private life. The anointing, it was released as we minister in the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus is authority if it's powerful and it's anointed. It's authority over every situation. It's powerful to perform the impossible, and it's anointed to break chains and restore lives. And when we declare the name of Jesus, we're not invoking words. We are releasing. We are releasing our presence of the righteous King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who is risen in the here and in the now. So what do we do? How do you and I walk this out? What does this look like for you and I? Well, we walk with delegated authority, power, and the anointing. But the foundation of this is a relationship marked by faith and obedience. Lordy, 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 lordy. Let me just say this. It is only through submission to authority that these things can flow. Jesus modeled it for us. John chapter 5:19, I only did what I saw the Father doing. When we're under authority of the King of Kings, we can carry authority. But our lives have to be submitted to him. See, James chapter 4 verse 7 tells us, if we submit to God, resist the devil, then he'll flee. See, spiritual power over darkness begins with submission to divine order. See, when under his lordship, his power, his authority, his anointing can flow through us. And that's simply why Peter and John could say, what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Oh, that's you, but sometimes I'm more comfortable to sit back and go, no, I can give you some coins. Bless you. Have a great day. Here's some Maccas. Have a good feed. But perpetuates their cycle. Changes nothing. Church, I think we've got to break out of the box of just good works alone. We have to break into a space where it's the gospel proclamation. Jesus moves on his name, which is the gospel. It is the good news. He is the good news. I just say this though. You cannot have authority over what you accommodate. If you tolerate fear, you can't cast it out. If you tolerate sin, you can't speak freedom into it. If you tolerate sickness as normal, you lose faith for healing. Oh, I've got such a headache. Do you want some Panadol? Tolerate. Can I pray for you? Now, I'm not saying we ignore medical professionals. We actually take their advice. We do the things that we need to do. And let me just tell you this, God does the most supernatural works in those moments. Let me share with you, a lady in our church has recently had a stroke. All the symptoms of a stroke going in, they looked at it and thought, oh, maybe it's just a minor one. But no, it was a full-blown stroke. But do you know that the results of having a stroke like this is that there's meant to be side effects, there's meant to be repercussions, there's meant to be all these things. And when they did the testing, they're like, no, it's a full-blown stroke. It's not like a mini stroke, it's a full-blown stroke. But you know, she has no side effects. She has no residual impact. Did you know that in the midst of what the enemy would like to oppress upon a people, God can do a miracle in? I heard again just today the testimonies of what God is doing in some of these spaces, because God is actually looking for a people who actually want to move in the things of God. But if you tolerate things as being normal, you'll never walk in the supernatural. You'll never walk with the authority that God gives to you. Why? Because the authority that God gives to you begins with agreement with heaven. We're called to pull heaven from earth. And if we allow the things that are contrary to God's truth to remain unchallenged in our lives, whether it's sin, whether it's sickness, or whether it's compromise in our lives, we actually lose spiritual authority to overcome it. Because authority comes and flows from alignment with God's word, his obedience to his will. And it's only effective when it's exercised under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Friends, what do you have? You have the name of Jesus. So walk in the delegated authority that you've been given. Let your life be marked by one of trust and faith and obedience to him. Plug yourself into the source of all power, the Holy Spirit. Be a witness, because I tell you what, healing always followed witness in the Bible. It was always connected to witness. It was never independent of. And the next thing we can do is we can actually grow in the anointing. And we grow in the anointing as we spend time with Jesus. It's through deepening obedience. It's through submission. It's through trust. It's through intimacy. And it's through trials. And we hold to the mysteries of God and the tensions of a God who heals and the power of God to heal all sickness. And we manage those things in tension with one another. It's not a problem. It's a tension to be managed. Church, I don't know where you're at in this journey of believing that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and that he actually wants healing to flow through you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.